Why should you visit TheChairShot.com? TheChairShot.com is your home for hard-hitting reviews, news, opinion, and analysis with attitude. Why? Because you're smarter than the average fan. TheChairShot.com. Always use your head.
Hey, Tony. How's it going?
Yo.
What's up, man? Been a while.
A little bit.
Okay, so I'm kind of thinking that our New Year's resolution for the new WWE calendar is to be a little bit more consistent with these podcasts, because Jesus Christ, have we not been so far this year.
Well, Raw's kind of sucked.
You know what it is? We're consistently inconsistent.
Yeah, they should be used to it by now.
That should count for something. Good evening, afternoon, whenever you happen to be listening, everybody, and welcome to The Reaction, a presentation of the Chairshot Radio Network. I am your host. My name is Harry Broadhurst. Joining me, as per usual, the DSDO, down since day one, Tony Acero.
Yo.
And normally this would be the part of the show where we would talk about what happened on SmackDown, and then we talk about what happened on tonight's episode of Raw, but I don't want to do that tonight, Tony.
All right.
Sound good to you?
Yeah, it really does, actually.
Let's talk about what happened on Dynamite. No, I'm kidding. You know how many people would pitch a bitch if we did that? If we actually did
like
that?
Seven.
You know, man, I just realized something. If we would have done an actual show on April Fool's Week, that would have been a perfect show to do on April Fool's Week.
Speaking of perfect shows, AEW pulls out a 10 out of 10.
I still haven't watched this week's episode yet.
Oh, my God.
That's
so good.
That being said, with NXT moving to Tuesdays, I will be able to watch Dynamite Live now on Wednesdays.
Nice.
I just have to catch up. I'm like a month behind. I don't know what it is. I think it's because I'm so conditioned to watch NXT that Dynamite just kind of slips the periphery.
If it's any consolation, I feel like I'm missing out by not watching NXT as well. So I get it.
Do you have any intentions of watching TakeOver this week?
I don't have time. It's opening day weekend for the Dodgers, and I'm running a sports bar / restaurant. So...
Yeah, you have fun with that. Only the defending World Series champions.
Yeah,
man, fuck so you guys.
Should be fun.
As a Braves fan, fuck you guys. As your friend, I hope the Dodgers do well in order to help your business.
Yeah.
Although something tells me you guys would do just fine, Dodgers or no Dodgers. After all, it will be football season here in a matter of a couple of months.
Yeah, I mean, we're still at a limited capacity. We just got notice that we can open up 50% inside. However, since there's still a mandatory distance of 8 feet between tables, it literally changed nothing for us. You know, the last thing I need to do is, you know, we're so close. I feel like we're so close to some semblance of normalcy. The last thing that I need to do is just say fuck all to the rules and get somebody sick, you know?
In other words, Tony, don't fuck it up.
Yeah, and I have no intentions of doing so.
All right. Well, I'm glad that Fox is doing better now. You guys were able to at least sustain during the downtime with the ability to do carry out and stuff. Obviously, you're not doing the business you were used to, but at least you were able to sustain.
We are incredibly busy right now. We were able to weather the storm, and now we're just, you know, firing on all cylinders, but it is taking its toll. Luckily enough, I have enough time to watch a shitty show of wrestling on Monday nights.
Okay, to be fair, Tony, tonight's episode of Raw was taped, so it's not like they put in a full effort, plus they're going up against the national championship game. And we've had this conversation before. I know you think it shouldn't matter, but it definitely does.
Oh, yeah, something else on TV is going to be on that's going to take away attention. Let's put on a shitty show to make sure that the years that go by assure that no one's going to change the channel to watch wrestling. Because why? We're so used to saying a shitty show. That's a dumbass way of doing business.
You got up on the wrong side of the bed today, Tony.
Oh, I was fine until Monday Night Raw started. Jesus Christ, that was crap.
All right, well, it's a good thing we're not talking Raw then. Shall we get into the WrestleMania conversation? Because it's actually It's actually a pretty decent-looking WrestleMania card, Tony.
Uh-huh.
All right, we'll start with Saturday because, you know, chronologically and everything. And the very first match that I want to discuss is the Women's Tag Team Turmoil match to determine who's going to face Nia and Shayna for the Women's Tag Team titles on night two. And, okay, so did you see the little silhouette that they did for the night two matchup?
I don't think, if I did see it, I didn't, it meant nothing to me.
It flashed during when they were doing the rundown of the card when McIntyre was in the ring waiting for Corbin.
Yeah, probably was not paying attention.
Damn if those silhouettes didn't look like the Bella Twins. Hall of Fame induction tomorrow. Would it really surprise you to see them pull the trigger on the Bellas coming in as a surprise entrant and winning this gauntlet? Because it sure as fuck wouldn't surprise me.
I've never been a fan. I've never thought they were quality wrestlers. I thought that Brie was slightly better than Nikki. I thought that they were horrible. They showed zero growth. And the growth that they did show is like saying Nia Jax has gotten better. Obviously, when you're shit and you turn into somewhat shit, you're better. But at the same time, it's not like these titles have prestige or any type of lineage that's admirable outside of Sasha and Bayley. So, I mean, I guess I don't need them back.
If you had to pick one of the four teams in this match to actually win, which team would you go with?
Billie Kay showing up. And Peyton being her partner.
One can only dream. You know what that would be, Tony?
It would be iconic.
I was waiting for that. Thank you. I set him up. You knocked him down. I'm going to go with Naomi and Lana. I still think that it's going to be the Bella Twins. But if I had to pick a team that's actually in the match, I'm going to go with Naomi. Oh, Tony, I have news. Carmella is Billie Kay's partner.
What if
Carmella gets taken out backstage and Peyton takes her place?
Yes.
We can only be so lucky, Tony.
Yeah, they won't do it. But I mean, it'd be good for a little pop. You know what's going to be interesting is the crowd. We're clamoring for wrestling, so I'm sure every fan there is going to be great. But there's a part of me that really, really hopes that there's this very large vocal part of the crowd that's just like, we have been waiting to tell you that we hate this.
Oh, I fully expect one of these matches to get that reaction, and we'll get to it in a few seconds.
Oh, I hope so.
All right, so I need an official prediction here, Tony.
No, yeah, that's my official prediction. Billie Kay and Peyton Royce, the Iconics.
All right, like I said, I'm going to go with Lana and Naomi because they have the most history. But officially on the record, I'm taking the Bella Twins. Naomi and Lana have the most history with Jackson Baszler, at least over the last couple of months. All right, Tony, let's get the shit out of the way. You ready?
Mm-hmm.
Let's talk Braun Strowman and Shane McMahon in a steel cage.
Yeah. His one-on-one, Braun Strowman's one-on-one match with Elias tonight was really solid. That was cool.
It was a handicap match?
No, it was a one-on-one.
No, it was definitely not.
Well, I don't know what you're talking about because there was no one else in the ring with Elias other than Braun Strowman.
Oh, that is right. I forgot you're on that whole boycott Jackson Riker thing.
It did look a little weird. I see Braun stumbling a lot and like flailing as if he was throwing someone else. But other than that, I guess a pretty cool squash. Yeah, I'm not interested in this. We've already seen Shane fly off the fucking corner with an elbow, so what's the difference?
He can't even do his elbow inside of a damn cage match.
He's going to jump off the top of the cage, because why the fuck not? Okay, I guess the sound guy is going to get a little bit of a bonus with the choo-chooing and whatnot, so he's the real winner.
I'm honest to God hoping that they actually pull that shit with a live crowd, and the live crowd boos the fuck out of it.
They're going to boo-boo the choo-choo? Nice.
Yes. Hashtag boo the choo.
Yeah, I think Braun's going to win.
Sounds moderately racist. I'm actually picking Shane McMahon, because why the fuck not?
Because he's a McMahon, not a man.
And it was very nice of him to clarify that for us.
But if Shane wins, then that means that the man who's fighting for all the people who have been bullied for being stupid won or lost.
Oh, it's adorable.
Shane has beaten all of us. Man,
it's adorable
depressing.
That you think the Be a Star campaign actually matters, Tony.
Braun's fighting for us, Harry. He's defending
the
little
people.
He's
not fighting
for me. Well, he's definitely
not
fighting for me.
Damn sure not fighting for me.
What little meathead is sitting at home saying, yeah, you tell him.
Seriously, Braun was like 300 pounds in high school. You honestly expect me to believe that that motherfucker got bullied? Get the fuck out of here.
Words hurt, Harry. All right? No matter how big you are, words hurt.
Okay, but it's stupid one of those words, Tony. Let's be real.
Yeah. Well, I
if
mean,
you can't...
let's see. Nia has talked about being bullied. Braun has talked about being bullied. These guys, they're the poster children for people that have been bullied. So,
well, you know who's
on the
bullying
right
them? You know who's bullying them now? Us. Get the fuck off our television. Okay, moving forward.
Please just go away.
All right. The rest of the night one card actually looks pretty good, Tony.
Who wears their gloves on their belt? Ugh.
Are you okay? You ready to continue now? You good?
Yeah. You know what? I just got off the rails with that. Sorry.
I don't have sound effects on this board, Tony. I can't help you.
Oh, shit. Sorry, I lost my train of thought. Go ahead.
Oh, God damn it.
Are you going to conduct the rest of this podcast or me?
I'm going to kick you in the caboose if we don't get this moving. See, I can make a trade pun, too. All right. Like I said, the rest of this card actually looks pretty solid for night one. Let's start with the Raw Tag Team titles. Kofi Kingston and Xavier Woods defend against AJ Styles and Omos. So, did you hear the rumor that AJ Styles actually wanted to face Triple H at WrestleMania this year? And would you have had any interest in an AJ Styles Triple H singles match?
The match, maybe. Like, it would be like a 4 out of 10 in the interest level. But the build to it, I think, would have been horrible. You would have had Triple H come out and talk about how little AJ was and how he was from that other company, and it would have just been garbage. So, yeah, I think I would have lost interest real quick.
Did you seriously just hit the match with the Bret Hart special?
Yep.
That's fucked up, Cody. All right. What about the actual tag team match that we're getting? I'm going to be curious to see what Omos is capable of. I've actually heard really good reviews of his ring work down at the Performance Center.
Yeah, I mean, Woods and Kofi are good people to bounce around as well as, you know, look good in the ring with and like for and against opponents. So I don't think it'll be bad. And if it is bad, you know, AJ could just tag himself in and have a banger with Kofi and Woods. I'm a little interested in the dynamic between the four with the idea of AJ and Omos not being a real team. Like, that came out of nowhere. And although it's not untrue, it just seemed like such a weird shoehorned, insult. But it also means that if they do win, it kind of makes Kofi and Woods look like idiots. And honestly, who throws a mic, honestly? Like, tonight was such an out of character moment. Like, I just, these guys are, they're supposed to be faces. It's Kofi Kingston. They're making horrible marijuana puns in the backstage that are just about as bad as the train ones that we made. But at least we're self-aware. Like, I don't know. I just, the build, everything tonight was garbage. Everything except for Riddle versus Ali. But the build for this tag match has kind of left me like, meh. You know, really, though. Other than that, I think we'll get at least a solid affair between the four guys here. And let's see what Almas is at. Let's give him a chance. Can't be any worse than Khali.
I'm saying that the match itself is going to be decent, at least, because like you said, Xavier and Kofi make for excellent pinballs. And Styles has been maybe the best performer in the WWE over the course of the last 5 years since his debut in the company at the Rumble. So
yeah.
I don't disagree that the match itself should be watchable. My curiosity is where they're going to go with it here. And honestly, if they do put the belts on Styles and Omos, who's left? Like, what other babyface teams are there on Raw? The Raw tag team division is in fucking shambles.
The whole roster, bro.
I mean, there's a four-way for the SmackDown tag titles this Friday night that actually should be pretty good. We'll talk about that before we do night two, because that's going to be kind of our pre-show for night two.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so our bad puns aside, you know who else has had some bad puns in the build-up to this WrestleMania? Cesaro. But we forgive him because, goddamn, is that bastard entertaining. He takes on Seth Rollins one-on-one in what could be argued as a purest dream match here at WrestleMania, Tony.
I'm excited for it, for sure. I'm a little hesitant that they're going to give Seth the win, him and his beautiful blazers. But
Friday was pimp.
Oh, my God. It was horrible, and I loved every fucking inch of that fabric. Cesaro, I want him to be so great, and I think a win over Seth would catapult him even a little bit. The feud has moved him up the card a little bit, so I want the win. I want him to take it, and I want them to kind of give him a shot next wrestling year, and really just try it. I mean, we're in a position to where if you do it right, anybody you give a shot leading into a crowd-filled arena eventually, I think they're gonna latch on. In a lot of ways, this is a restart button, and I think that's why Raw sucked so much tonight, because they're like, let's just get through this Mania weekend, please, guys, can we just get through it? And it really tonight lacked effort. But if there's one thing I can say, it's that Cesaro has been given an opportunity. Him and Seth are gonna put on a banger. I am super pumped for it. It's one of the matches that I'm really looking forward to. And my prediction is Cesaro.
So I'm going to kind of give away my prediction for another match by predicting this match. I think Paulo ends up taking the IC title off of Big E on night two. And his first feud for the United States title will be against Cesaro after Cesaro beats Rollins. I don't think that there's room on the main event scene for Cesaro right now on SmackDown. I do think that the draft could see him being moved back to Raw, and he could be a prominent player on Raw going forward, though. The main event scene on SmackDown, and we talked about this the last time we did the show, Tony, the main event scene on SmackDown is fucking loaded.
It's got some good stuff.
You've got Roman, you've got Edge, you've got Bryan, you can plug and play Owens in there, you can plug and play Jey Uso in there, you can plug and play Sami Zayn in there. There are so many different people that could carry the load on SmackDown on any given week that Cesaro almost gets lost in the shuffle, and for a guy of his talents, it's unfortunate, but I can see it happening. I do think that a move back to Monday Night Raw would benefit him because of the lack of main event depth for the roster on Monday nights. Could you imagine Bobby Lashley versus Cesaro for the WWE Championship?
Yeah, I could probably imagine it.
So I don't see him reaching that level on SmackDown right now just because of the amount of talent in the main event scene over there, but I do see him reach – I could see him reaching that level over on Monday Night Raw. So Cesaro wins here, and it sets him up for Apollo Crews if he stays on SmackDown, just because I don't think that that wall is going to be broken right now with everything going on in the main event picture. So we get the expected tag team match, although they took kind of a diversion to get there. Bugattis and paint jobs and bullshit like that aside, I'm actually intrigued by Bad Bunny and Damian Priest versus The Miz and Morrison, Tony.
Well, I mean, I told you this was going to happen months ago, like a long time ago. And they took the longest route possible to get there, the cheesiest way to get there. This has been, the build has been garbage. Tonight, I mean, yes, we come from a time where cement being poured into a convertible is the epitome of car damage. And we see tonight, and it's like he's using watercolor paint on a car that you know is going to be washed off with spit. Like, it just doesn't have the same weight. I'm not saying destroy a Bugatti. I'm saying don't even bring it up. There's so many other things to do. Not only that, and this was a small thing that I noticed I disliked, and I actually asked the comment board on 411, I don't like when my faces kind of show that they are incredibly rich. It seems like a very heelish way of doing things, and it kind of turns me off. I said the same thing about Rey Mysterio's family when I couldn't feel bad for them because they were all coming out in Louis V's and Gucci gear, and like I just did it. I felt completely detached. So, like, seeing Bad Bunny, who I know is rich and I know's got money, pull up in a Bugatti just didn't really, like, it did nothing for me. Which means that The Miz and Morrison coming to the car and using, like, non-toxic Crayola paint on the car, it didn't really do anything for me either. It's really interesting because Bad Bunny's promo tonight was really bad, but it had so much passion. And you could tell that when he flipped to Spanish, the dude went in. I was just waiting for him to be like Seattle Metal and like piss Triple H off, but like other than that, the dude had heat, and I mean that in a good way, not a bad way. And he had like it was dripping from him, and you do get the idea that he is a fan. But at the end of the day, Miz and Morrison also aren't all that incorrect, where they say like this is not your world, you need to get out. And had they latched on that dynamic, I think this would have been a much more compelling story. But instead, we have fake music videos, shitty John Morrison hair, and finger paint on a car. Like, it just, I don't know. But, yeah, I mean, this is all for Bad Bunny and Damian Priest to win. And I hope Priest gets the win. And I hope that, you know, this kind of pushes him towards a little bit more notoriety. And I'm sorry, but I've been fully on board with the Bad Bunny train. I think he's done great. But, yeah, it's about time.
Tony?
Yeah.
I'm about to piss you off with six words. You ready?
Sure.
I like Hey Hey Hop Hop.
Well, I mean, that's to be expected, considering where you're from.
The fuck is that supposed to mean, asshole?
You're more hip replacement than hip, or whatever the fuck you say.
It's an old Jerry Lawler line about Jim Ross, but yes, that is the line. I think that there's a disconnect with the casual fan for a guy like Bad Bunny, though. And you bring up the expensive taste and everything, and I think it's not even just that. I think that, how do I say this without sounding racist?
Oh, don't worry, I do it all the time.
I don't think he appeals to the vast majority of the WWE audience.
Yeah, that's not racist at all. That's fine. You can see it everywhere. You see it on Twitter. You see it on Instagram. You see it on social media. Who's Bad Bunny? What's a Bad Bunny? What is that, you know? And some people are saying it in jest because and coming off as stupid, but realistically, a lot of people don't know. It's no different than me not knowing who the hell's singing Rhea Ripley's main event or entrance music. I don't know who that is, you know? But I'm also not on Twitter touting it as if she's undeserving to be on my WrestleMania card, you know? So, I get what you mean, and I don't – yeah, it's not racist. It's an observation that I think holds a lot of weight.
The problem is for somebody like me, middle-class America, coming from the fucking heartland here in Youngstown, Ohio, We have a very large Hispanic population in the city. Don't get me wrong. I grew up in the middle of it, actually, in an area known as La La Land around here, which is very heavily Puerto Rican, Latino, Latinx, I guess would be the preferred pronoun these days, whatever, influenced area. That being said, I can guarantee you that most of the people in my city have no idea who or what the fuck a Bad Bunny is.
It's what happens on Easter when you're not a good boy. Or girl.
Okay, Miz did caught me a couple of weeks ago. You know what the opposite of a bad bunny is, right, Tony? A good rapper.
Huh? That's
funny. Priest and Bunny win. Bunny gets the pin because celebrity. Sorry. I would like Priest to get the pinfall, but I think that they're going to give Bunny the pin. And I do think that this needs to be the end of Bad Bunny's run as an active performer. I don't mind him coming around. I don't mind his fanhood. I don't mind him being on television, even to an extent. He doesn't need to be taking any time away from other people.
Yeah, I hope he had a good time, because he's right. He is living out a dream, and a lot of people would love to have that. So I hope he had a good time. I felt like not at any point did he disrespect the product, so...
Which is more than we can say for some of the celebrity involvement we've seen over the years.
Oh, did you watch a Braun Strowman promo? Is that why you're yawning?
Yeah, put me right to sleep. All right, so a real question, Tony. Which of the two title matches main events night one?
Oh, Sasha Banks versus Bianca Belair.
You think so?
No, I don't. Drew and Lashley are going to main event.
All right, well, then we'll go to Sasha and Bianca now and save the probable main event for last. I feel like you're very conflicted in this match, Tony.
Oh, no, Sasha's going to win.
You think so?
I mean, you know, I'm a jaded Sasha Banks fan who is clouded by the obsessive attraction towards her as a woman. But in reality, I think that this is, I don't know how to write the story that, you know, these two could have had. I do think that yet again, we've fallen onto a lackluster build for something that is kind of organically great. And they just went with the cliched Sasha as a heel type thing, which is fine because Sasha's better as a heel. I don't really enjoy her all that much as a face, as a character. But at the end of the day, we're going to get an amazing match. We're going to get an amazing time. And I think the person who wins doesn't really matter, because a Sasha win means she can continue carrying this belt for a while and the division. A Bianca loss doesn't, I don't think, hurt her. A Bianca win does catapult her and give her some clout, but you know, I think we can go either way and no one's going to get hurt unless it's like a squash match, which it won't be. So me saying Sasha wins is just me, you know, voting for the blueprint.
Would it surprise you to hear that I agree with you in Sasha winning?
No.
I don't think Bianca's ready. And the reason I don't think Bianca is ready is because this will be Bianca's, like, first real main roster test in front of an audience, except for last year's Royal Rumble. But last year's Royal Rumble was in such a vacuum from so long ago that I don't know if it's comparable to have the kind of experience that she's going to have at WrestleMania. And I think that Sasha is somebody that could still carry the SmackDown roster, whereas I don't know if Bianca's ready to carry the mantle of being the leader of the women's division over on the Blue Brand.
Yeah, Bianca has – I feel like she is very much herself, but she's also very one note. She hasn't completed her well-roundedness quite yet. And it might not even be her fault. It could be the writers. It could be the handcuffs that she has. Her persona, I think, is very much who Bianca is as a person. And I could feel that. It comes off of the screen. But it also stops almost immediately. It's like it's like every hot girl summer right now. It's every, you know, bad bitch out there. Like, it's cool and all, but what else is she? And I don't think we've gotten the answer to that yet.
You know what the problem is, too, is she comes off, to some people, she comes off genuinely unlikable because of the way that she portrays herself.
Yeah. Yeah, because not everybody relates to that.
There's an error of confidence there that a lot of people find turn-offish. Almost arrogance, as it were.
Yeah, and I think Sasha had the same issue when she was coming up. Back when she was the ratchet queen of NXT.
Oh, no, I 100% agree. There are a lot of similarities between the two here. I think Bianca's the better athlete. I don't think that can be debated. I think Sasha's the better wrestler because Sasha knows how to pace herself, and Sasha has learned why certain things work in certain matches and don't in others, where Bianca's kind of a GMSI kind of wrestler, in my opinion, if that makes sense.
Yeah, and she'll figure it out. She's so young. It's great.
Of
and
course.
Who better than Sasha?
How dare you disrespect the good goddamn name of Canyon, sir? Main event is Bobby Lashley defending the WWE Championship against Drew McIntyre. So what I want to happen and what I think will happen are two different things here, Tony.
Mm-hmm.
I want Bobby Lashley to retain because I think that there's more of a story to tell with Lashley keeping the belt here and then going forward by having to look over his shoulder at any one of a number of different people coming after him. I think, and my official prediction, is they put the belt on McIntyre to give him the WrestleMania moment with fans in attendance.
Well, I think that they're going to do that for Edge. I think that they think they've already given Drew the moment, not to say that he won't have it again in the future, but I think that, I don't know, I think they might give it to Lashley. I think the feel-good story is for Edge. I think Lashley's going to take it. I think that, I mean, shit, who knows? Brock Lesnar might show up in F5 Lashley, and then you got your next big match coming through. But...
How long do you think they wait to pull the trigger on Lashley and Lesnar? Do you think it's a SummerSlam program?
I mean, that depends on Lesnar, if he's even interested.
That's fair.
So, there is something inside of me that says Drew wins and gets that moment, you know, with him holding the title and fireworks going off everywhere to close out the end of night one. But I don't know. I think that there's somebody out there that's not Drew that can still face Lashley. Lashley's kind of proven himself. They disbanded him from the Hurt Business, so unless there's some big swerve coming, which will make my eyes roll so much, Lashley loses. He doesn't really have anything to fall back on.
Can we talk about that for a second? Because that pissed me the fuck off last week.
Oh, yeah.
What? Why? Give me one good reason. You don't have to, because
so
I know
can
you can't think of one either.
So that Lashley had two matches going into Mania?
That's not a good enough reason.
I know, but that's their thought process. Same reason why they had Goons to trade. Remember what I told you? Remember what I predicted? It was exactly what happened?
Fucking stupid. The best thing going on Raw, and they split them up going into the biggest show with fans in attendance. And then take the belts off of Cedric and Shelton in the process in order to give them to a guy who we are not entirely sure what he's capable of in the ring yet.
Mm-hmm.
So goddamn frustrating. Back to this match itself here. I will say this much. If Drew comes out to Broken Dreams, he's winning the title.
He will.
And I really hope he comes. And I really hope he does come out to Broken Dreams, because that song is the shit. I will throw down to some Shaman's Harvest, honey. I'm just saying. All right. So this Friday night will be the WrestleMania edition of SmackDown. There are currently two matches announced. The first is a four-way for the tag team titles as the Dirty Dogs, or the Top Dogs, as Michael Cole called them a couple of weeks ago. Way to pay attention to your product, Michael. Robert Roode and Dolph Ziggler defend against Otis and Gable, the Mysterios, and the Street Profits. Who you got, Tony?
Fuck, I don't care. Probably the Street Profits.
I'm saying Roode and Ziggler retain. And the only reason I'm saying Roode and Ziggler retain is because this match is in on the actual main card for WrestleMania. If this match were on the main show, I'd say you give the Profits the belt back and give them their Mania moment. But since this match is happening on the SmackDown before WrestleMania, Roode and Ziggler retain, I'm going to say Dolph pins Ray. Because fuck it.
Poor Ray.
Andre the Giant Memorial Battle Royal.
Nope.
Nothing?
Mm-mm. Isn't it on SmackDown?
It's on SmackDown.
Yeah, no, I'm not. I'm not doing that.
Fine. I will. Because he's not acting on the actual main SmackDown card, give it to Corbin. I'm actually probably one of the few people on this network that likes Corbin. So, give it to Corbin. All right, let's move over to night two. You ready, Tony?
Mm-hmm.
We'll start with the obvious low end of the show. Women's tag team titles see Nia and Shayna defend against whoever wins the gauntlet. I'm telling you right now, if it's the Bellas are taking the belts. Titles be damned.
All right.
On your belief that it will be the Iconics, who do you have? Iconics or Jackson Baszler?
Iconics. Please just take the belts off of Nia and Shayna, please.
I'm going to say it's Naomi and Lana, and Jackson Baszler retain because fuck us, that's why. Lana already got her revenge by putting Nia through a table on Raw, so this is Nia's chance to stand tall. Be a star, WWE. The Fiend versus Randy Orton. I don't know what the fuck to expect here, Tony. I really don't. Like, part of me is expecting it to be a Firefly Funhouse match and, like, a pre-record. But I feel like they're going to piss off a lot of people if they go that route inside of the stadium. And the live crowd will boo the fuck out of it.
Yeah, I don't really know what they're going to do. I think if they put Alexa on the screen, everyone will be happy. So I expect
this
a lot of puppets.
This is true. Randy Orton was the real winner at Fastlane, Tony.
Mm-hmm.
Just saying. Wyatt wins because what else is there to do with this here? Hopefully he moves on. The problem is where do you go with either of these guys from here?
I don't know. Maybe Boogeyman comes out and casts a spell on Wyatt and he goes back to, like, his, you know, creepy Texas Chainsaw Massacre days.
Okay, if anybody's coming out to cast a spell on him, it damn well better be Papa Shango.
Yeah, somebody. Fuck it.
All right, it is a Nigerian drum fight. A what?
Yeah, I don't think that they have enough nuance to pull this off. This is not Black Panther. This is not a Marvel movie that is written by world-class writers. This is
oh, man, this could go bad. I don't think it will, but I'm saying the potential for it to do so is there.
I'm saying this is going to come off incredibly racist.
Yeah, that's what I mean. It could go bad. If they just leave it in a minimal, like, if they circle the ring with a bunch of half-naked black men banging on drums, I mean, you have to explain the heritage. You have to explain why this matters. You have to explain what this means to Apollo, what this means to the match, what this means to African-Americans, both in Africa and Nigeria specifically, and in America. And I just don't think they can do all that in a fucking match. Like, I don't. Man,
so
I don't know.
So what you're saying is you sense fuckery afoot.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
All I'm going to say is to our censoring friends over at the Peacock Network, be ready. Because this could go bad in a multitude of ways. Apollo wins the title here, like I said in my prediction earlier, because I had Cesaro beating Rollins. Who you got in the match?
I'll say Big E.
I almost think, though, the match result is secondary to the spectacle that it's going to become, and hopefully not the debacle that it might become.
Mm-hmm.
All right, we move forward. These two have had some bangers going into this show here, so I'm hoping that they give them the time to have one in front of a live audience, because even with no people in attendance, these two have been beating the fuck out of each other. Riddle defends the U.S. title against Sheamus. And if you didn't know, Tony, Riddle smokes pot.
That he was high off his life. So, yeah, this is going to be a great
high off for tibia.
Yeah, I think they're going to go out there and put on a hell of a match for sure. But who goes over? I don't know. I think they might give it to Riddle. They're very high on Riddle, and they're giving him a lot of wins, a lot of TV, even after flubbing lines and seemingly being permanently high. They're running with him, so I think they're going to give it to Riddle. They're going to let him beat Sheamus and have a big win under his belt at WrestleMania.
I think Sheamus wins the title. I think that Sheamus has been one of the best performers in the COVID era, and this is an opportunity to reward him by giving him a title in front of a live audience. Riddle has been entertaining when he's not shoving the marijuana thing down our throats. My opinions on that are very well known. I don't feel the need to go into them right now. But I think that Sheamus picks up the win here, especially since a lot of people felt like this was going to be McIntyre versus Sheamus at this WrestleMania, and this almost feels like a downgrade for Sheamus to an extent.
Mm-hmm.
Kevin Owens battles Sami Zayn, and if you care, Logan Paul will be at ringside doing something.
I don't care. And as many Same. Times as I've seen Owens versus Zayn, or, you know, Owens versus El Generico, or Dean versus El Generico, this is probably
Excuse
one of the...
Me, sir.
I just feel like there's a lot of similarities between...
I will have you know that Generico is still doing excellent work with the orphans down at Los Angelitos del Generico, I believe was the name of the orphanage.
All I'm saying is they have similar styles, as does Dean and Owens, who also kind of look alike. So of the many iterations I've seen of them two going at it, this is the one I'm least interested in. There's no reason whatsoever to involve that – I'm not even going to say his name. I find that person deplorable, unnecessary, idiotic, and just a waste of space. So putting them on my wrestling is just even more of a reason to tune out. So yeah, I'm not really interested in this. I hope Kevin Owens gets a chance to jump off the boat, just so that he fulfills that prediction / wish. But other than that, I don't know. I think if Zayn wins, it can allow him to continue his quest for, respect. Owens hasn't really been doing much of anything, which isn't a knock on him because the dude is great. He's consistent. We've talked about him before where you give him something and I feel like he just scratches his head and he says, all right, I'll make it work. And I think this is kind of more of that. At the very least, we'll have a good wrestling match.
Official prediction?
Sami Zayn.
I've been predicting a lot of heel wins, so I'm going to say that Owens gets his moment, and he better jump off the boat.
Yeah.
I don't know how they do that in the context of the match that they're supposed to have, but Owens better jump off the boat regardless. Somebody's better jump off the damn boat.
Yeah, but not a shark.
No, don't jump over the shark.
No, please don't.
That would be the Bad Bunny booking.
I mean, some could argue they jumped the shark long ago.
Well, you know. All right, so it is a double main event on night two as well, as both the Raw Women's title and the SmackDown Heavyweight title are on the line. I don't think there's any question as to which match is main eventing this night, though. So we go to the
right.
Raw Women's title match as Asuka defends against Rhea Ripley.
You know, one thing I will say, I can't complain that there's a lack of consistency with the Rhea Ripley character because those who haven't watched NXT don't really know who she is outside of, you know, her little fun in the sun last year. So there's not a lot to go on. So her shoving Asuka off the top rope tonight wasn't something I could be like, that's so inconsistent with her character. And yet, I'm still not interested. Asuka has not been a great the character has not been a great champion. The character doesn't make a lot of sense. She's supposed to be some warrior, yet constantly is willing to team with people that she should be very leery of. And tonight was a case in point. She just doesn't have that next level. And again, not Asuka's fault. It's the writers and it's the lack of character. And then Rhea comes in, gets a shot at WrestleMania, and I'm sure people love it, but it just lacks any type of drama, any actual story or anything to latch on to. I'm just not interested. So I don't know. Do they catapult her to the moon and give her the title and make her the champion, only to have, of course, Charlotte Flair come and take it from her? Or do they let Asuka win and still continue to do nothing with the belt? I don't know. I don't think that there's a right answer. But I guess if I had to choose, because I do, and that's what we're doing, I'd say Rhea Ripley wins.
Okay, so hear me out on this. I want an actual, genuine thought on this because me and Warren had this conversation, and he disagrees with me. And here's the conversation that we had. I said that if you want to make Rhea's moment matter winning the title, she needs to beat Charlotte for it, not Asuka. I think Asuka should retain. Eventually, Charlotte returns, and Charlotte takes the belt off of Asuka, and then Rhea beats Charlotte for the title to get back the win that she lost last year at WrestleMania.
Yeah, I agree with you that it needs to be Charlotte. I don't think a win over Asuka is really going to do much because, like I said, the belt doesn't really hold a lot of prestige right now. It's just kind of a prop. I mean, so are the women's tag team titles, but, like, Asuka just really hasn't been there. And when she is there, she's not fighting. She's not defending her title. And the people that are gunning for it, gun for it for all of, like, a week before her. Like, they change their mind and want to fight Nia and Shayna for some reason. I don't know. It's just been really badly done.
So my theory behind the whole thing for Rhea is for Rhea's main roster run to come full circle and officially launch her off, I think she needs to beat the woman that she should have beaten the first time.
Right.
So while I think Asuka and Rhea could have a really good match because both are tremendous performers, I don't have the emotional investment for this match for Rhea that I would had Rhea been facing Charlotte. And I don't necessarily know if that's a good thing for Charlotte or a bad thing for Asuka that I feel so disconnected to this matchup.
I don't know, Ben. It's just not there.
I think Asuka retains.
Yeah. Okay.
I can already tell you we disagree on this match, Tony, because you mentioned your pick earlier. The main event for night two sees Roman Reigns defend the WWE Universal Championship in a triple threat match as he takes on both Daniel Bryan and Edge. You're on the record saying Edge is going to win here, correct?
Yep.
I think Bryan wins the title. And the reason I think Bryan wins the title is because I think Edge's moment needs to come in a one-on-one match. And I think it's going to come in a one-on-one match at the expense of Bryan. And then they can build towards Roman coming after the title that he never lost getting pinned for. I think Bryan taps Edge with the LaBelle lock, the Yes lock, and wins the title. We get kind of a callback to WrestleMania 30 when Bryan got inserted into the main event at WrestleMania 30, and he won via submission.
Huh?
You cut out there, Tony.
Oh, I just said, okay. I fully believe Edge is going to win, and that's how we're going to close the show up.
Where do you go with Edge next, once he does win?
I don't know. One-on-one with Daniel Bryan, Roman Reigns trying to get his belt back. I mean, you can go wherever you want. This is for the moment.
Christian shows up.
No, that's not going to happen.
Hey, Jericho's on the Austin podcast.
Oh, yes, the Forbidden Door has been open. I forgot.
Man, if anybody's going to be willing to work with AEW, I think it would be Trips. I'm just saying. I think Trips is a lot more likely to do it than Vince is. I'll put it that way. Overall, what's your anticipation level for these two nights, Tony?
My what level? Anticipation?
Your anticipation.
I'm excited for the WrestleMania fueling and whatnot. I'm not excited for the event itself. I'm excited because I've scheduled my weekend so that I could sit down at my restaurant and enjoy the event. But I don't really – I mean, it's Monday Night Raw, wrestling, WWE, with the exception of a few glimpses on SmackDown, has just been really, really bad. Just – I feel like they just stopped trying.
This comment brought to you by Tony Khan. I fucked that joke up. God damn it.
Yep. That sweet, sweet Khan money.
Khan! Wow, I'm a nerd. Okay, moving forward. I'm looking forward to Mania. I'm looking forward to seeing how the crowd responds to the matches. Are we going to get a wrestling-starved crowd that's invested in everything? Or are we going to see a crowd that's going to take out some frustrations with some of the way the booking has gone over the course of the last year and makes their frustrations known about the way booking has gone over the course of the last year?
Yeah, I don't know. Kind of have a feeling that the people that are upset about WrestleMania are about wrestling right now. Well, WWE in particular aren't going to go to WrestleMania. So we're probably going to get a pretty pretty nice crowd.
A pretty markish crowd. Yeah, it wouldn't surprise me either.
Yeah.
I just know that I'm looking forward to hearing actual people in attendance at a WWE show again. One of the things that made NXT...
Yeah, because bullshits are just horrible.
One of the things that made NXT tolerable over the course of this COVID run has been the fact that they've had actual, like, trainees and stuff sitting in the crowd and watching matches like they did originally on Raw. And it makes the shows sound so much better than those piped-in fake-ass chants and bullshit.
Yeah,
you're still controlling the demographic to an extent by who you put in there to sit at ringside for these matches. But it sounds a whole lot better than muted camera microphone noise that, realistically speaking, is not actually happening in real time.
People chanting, Drew, Drew, Drew. Okay.
I'm supposed to believe that a bunch of people on shitty-ass webcams are going to be able to chant Drew's name in unison? Fuck out of here.
Yeah.
I vote for a little bit more consistency starting with next Monday, Tony.
All right.
And hey, look at the bright side. We'll have two nights of WrestleMania to discuss at least.
Mm-hmm.
And hopefully an episode of Raw that doesn't completely shit the bed as well.
You know what? It will. And that's so disappointing because there was once a time where the Raw after WrestleMania was just amazing.
Where can people find you online, Tony?
411mania.com, where I do the Raw report and the AEW Dynamite report every week.
And on Twitter?
Tony Acero, 411.
And if they happen to find themselves in the Los Angeles area looking for food?
Don't look for me. No, Frog's Restaurant in Bel Air, California.
At ATV the Eagle, pretty much anywhere you have, you can find an online presence, Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, Yahoo, pretty much any of the above, realistically. You can also find me on the Chair Shot Wrestling Forum, which just celebrated its 9th anniversary yesterday.
Wow.
Which means we've been doing this shit now for coming up on 7 years, Tony?
Yeah, it's been a while.
Jesus. Pretty soon our show's going to have to get an allowance. Greg, can you hear me? We want paid.
I mean, we probably have to get an audience first.
Well, there's that. You know what the problem with that is, Tony? People. They're the root of all your problems.
Yeah. Well, I mean, if we get a more consistent product, then we can actually try and push it. But that part of the reason why we don't and we just speak into this void is because it's mostly for us. We're just pandering to ourselves.
Yeah, we're basically just hitting the high spots for ourselves at this point. Hence our conversation about trade. Hence our conversation about trade jokes earlier in the podcast.
Yeah, that was for nobody but us.
If anybody was listening at that point, they definitely stopped.
Yeah. We're the epitome of hypocrisy, talking about a shitty show on a shitty podcast.
On a serious note, though, I do want to send our condolences out to our co-hostess with the mostest, Tony.
Yeah, this one's for her for sure.
Tonight's episode of The Reaction is dedicated to the memory of Angela Puglisi. Liz, you're in our thoughts. You know I got you. If you need anything, if you need to reach out, you need somebody to talk to, you know I got you. You know where to find me. I'm always here. For the co-hostess with the mostest, who hopefully will be returning soon, and the DSDO, Tony Acero. I am the voice of reason in some places, I guess. My name is Harry Broadhurst. You have been listening to The Reaction, a presentation of The Chair Shot Radio Network online at thechairshot.com.
Deuces, bitches.
We'll see you guys next week with our post-WrestleMania review. I got to stall for time because I wasn't ready for the end of the show and I haven't got a chance to pull up the studio yet. Hanging up here just doesn't work. In all sincerity, real quick, before I do let you guys go, I just wanted to say that so they're not going to have any kind of a service for her mother, but if out of respects, I will be making a donation to the American Cancer Society, and I highly recommend, I suggest that tell your people you love them, man. Because you never know when's the last time you're going to get the chance. I know Liz would give everything in order to be able to talk to her mom at least one more time. Take care of each other. It's a tough world out there. The only thing that's going to get us through it is each other. You've been listening to The Reaction here on the Chair Shot Radio Network.